The word take is mentioned six times here. Six is the number of man. And so I think it's very significant that when this king, which is the full representation of what man is, mm-hmm. in opposition or in contrast to what God as king is a very different character. And of course, when you think of Goliath, you know, all the sixes that were mentioned in terms of Goliath, well, here we have man. And this will ultimately end in the manifestation of the man of sin. Mm-hmm. Number 666. And so he takes, he'll take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. He will take your daughters. He will take your fields. He will take a tenth of your seed. Take a tenth of your men servants. Take a tenth of your sheep. And on it goes.
But we have to be aware that he takes the tenth. He takes God's portion away from him. Mm-hmm. You understand? The tenth was always God's portion. Mm-hmm. And when someone takes over our life, it's taking the portion of God. Mm-hmm. It's robbing us from God himself.
I have a question. And it's partially answered in the text when we read they have rejected God. But often when it comes to seeking something, it originates with dissatisfaction with what is. Would we agree with that, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. premise? Mm-hmm. My question is, and I was looking for the verse, but I couldn't find it, where the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining, is God able to provide us a table in the wilderness, right? And what happens is, we are looking to substitute very often when there's dissatisfaction or disillusionment with what's present. But the reality is that what very often happens is we get disillusioned because we don't have a right view. Mm-hmm. We get disillusioned with God when struggles and difficulties come, and the reason why we're disillusioned is because we don't have a right view of the sovereign nature of God. And so if I'm dissatisfied in my present circumstance, I look to something else. And so it comes back to this whole thing, really, is the God I am believing, the God who has revealed himself in Scripture, or is it the God of my own making? And then when it doesn't meet with what my anticipation of what it is, I become dissatisfied, I rationalize and justify my idolatry, my immorality, and every other thing that I do. It's a real challenging thing to think that through, because it's very subtle. It's very subtle in that the pursuit of something else often starts with the dissatisfaction with the present condition. In the garden, the lie of Satan was, hath God said? And so there's another element at work here. There's another entity involved. It is one who wants that place that God is supposed to have. And so what he does is he casts dispersion upon the very nature and character of God, and very often we find ourselves believing that lie just like Eve does. And so it's not the God of the Bible that we're really following. It's the God of our own making. How can I become dissatisfied with the one who's sovereign, the one who is the creator of all things, the one who orders all things after the counsel of his will, the one who holds all things together by the word of his power? How can I be dissatisfied with him? It's because I believe the lie that he doesn't do as he says he does, that he is love, he is gracious, he is light, he is holy, he is just, he is loving.
So it's a lack of faith. Eve was a lack of faith. Israel at the borders of the land, it was a lack of faith. There was, 11 days journey to Kadesh, from Kadesh Barnea into the land. Go in, says Joshua, Caleb. No, let's send spies. The Lord allowed them to send spies. The spies came back with a report. We can't go in. A lack of faith. So they stopped. 40 years in the wilderness. And I'm sorry, Bill, I really still enjoying Boaz. We have Boaz here, and we have Elimelech. You understand. We have Boaz and we have Elimelech. One was a man of faith. The other was a man of the flesh. And in the same time period, choices were made. Yes, there were needs. Both perhaps had needs. One stayed and trusted God. The other one went in to Moab to have his needs supposedly met there. But God, in sovereign grace, saw the end from the beginning and had a better plan already worked out. You know, that's like God.
I was just thinking, as you said that, it just reminds me that throughout Scripture we see examples of two individuals having to make a choice. Abraham and Lot is another example. And, you know, one takes the right choice, the other makes a bad choice, and there's a bad consequence. And the challenge, you know, the challenge for all of us, you know, young and old, is that we will have choices in life. And we have to, you know, we have to make good choices. If we make bad choices, we end up in disaster, spiritual disasters.
I think what is needful, and it just occurred to me, I was thinking of David. When David came upon hard times, he was in exile, he was being rejected, circumstances got really, really difficult, and he was basically out on his own. David could have said, oh, that there would be someone to comfort me, someone to look after me, someone to help me get over this hump. No, it says David encouraged himself
in the Lord.
In the Lord. Amos said it earlier in the session. It's about exercise. It's about disciplining myself to say to myself every day, it's the retention of God in my knowledge that I am answerable to Him. He is in control of everything. We say it all the time. Our times are in His hand. But maybe that's become, you know, just words. But the reality is, I have to get to that point where I retain God in my knowledge. And if all around me is going some other way, I'm going to respond to the revelation that God has given of Himself in the Scriptures. I don't look to another man. I don't look to someone to comfort me. I look to the Lord, who is sovereign, who has guided and has allowed the circumstances to develop exactly the way they've developed, and I'm going to turn to Him and say, I trust You, even when I can't trace what's going on. Mm-hmm.